the front praying for people in the city that were hungry. And I thought about Cedric and Travis and Sister Everlene and Sister Dakota, and they were in Bible study and they had already found truth, and then they began to look for someone that might be teaching the Word of God. And there are people in this city right now that are studying the Word of God, and they're looking for the house of God. They just don't know where it is. And God's going to bring you into a place of intersection with them. And I could give you a roster of people that that's happened to in my experience in God. And I and my wife are among that group. And I want you to know there are people in this city right now that are saying, God, I would serve you if I could find you. And God, I see what you have in your word, and I want to come to that. And they don't know about apostolic churches yet, but they're going to, because they're going to meet you. You're going to give them a witness, and you're going to bring them to the house of God, and we're going to get them in a Bible study. And the preacher's going to preach, and the singers are going to sing, and God's going to do his thing. And we're going to see men and women filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody clap your hands and lift your voice and give God some praise tonight. Praise God, Brother Phillips. We're so glad you're here. We want you to come and take your liberty tonight. Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you, that's what we want to hear.
And why don't you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, come on, let's clap our hands and lift our voice together. Come on, clap your hands and lift your voice together. Woo, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, come on, I think we can do a little bit better than that. God's been better than that. Come on, somebody cry out with a great shout of praise. If he kept you one more day, if he made a way out of no way, if he opened doors, come on, you ought to praise him right now. How about up there on the balcony? Could you praise him in the balcony? Come on, what about along the back wall? Can we praise him back there? Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of Psalms chapter 119 and verse 89. Believe me, today I recognize where I'm standing. You've been at work all day. You're tired. I'm sure that there are many of you that probably came straight here from work. Some of which might not even be able to be here tonight because of work, and you're sitting at your kitchen trying to pay attention while you're listening to me preach or the singer sing. And so I recognize I'm competing with the work day, but I also recognize that the anointing of God is in this house, and I want to be obedient to the word of God. I'm going to do it as quickly as possible, so if you'll just jump on board with me, we'll have church together. And I'll get you out of here in a timely manner. But I will tell you this. I am not going to preach so fast that we can't obey the Holy Ghost. I don't want to bypass the move of God. And somebody can leave here tonight. I'm just going to tell you, if you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can leave here speaking in another tongue as the Spirit gives the utterance. Hallelujah. Come on, if you don't know what that is, I'm going to tell you, you're at the right place to find out what it's all about. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Pastor Sutton, Bishop Sutton, I love you. I appreciate you. What a wonderful man of God and his family. I love this whole family, and they are just so much fun to be around, and I just love them. Psalms 119 and 89, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Tonight, if the Lord will help us, I want to preach to us a Latin term, and I will bring the definition throughout this service tonight. But if God will help us, I want to preach to us just for a little while. Stare decisis. Look at your neighbor and say, stare decisis. Look at your other neighbor and say it again, stare decisis. Look back at them and say, what does that mean? We're going to figure it out here in a little bit if the Lord will help us. Let's lift our hands one more time. We love you, Jesus. We're so grateful to be in your house, to give you praise, to give you glory, to give you honor. Lord, there's nobody like you in heaven or in earth. You're so great, and you're greatly to be praised. God, we thank you, Lord, because we know that you're moving in this house.
We might not see it with our natural eye, but through the Spirit we can see that you're moving. And when you move, things move. When you move, walls come down. When you move, fetters are destroyed. Thank you, Jesus, for moving in this house tonight. In Jesus' name, one more time, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. I have said this throughout this revival, and it will continue to be a theme, because I feel like the purpose of this revival is to bring clarity to this area. I'm not talking about to this church. This church has clarity. But I feel like the spiritual forces that we are fighting with are fighting for clarity in this area. We know, we realize, it's very obvious that we live in a world that is in a state of confusion. They are confused about religion, confused about rights, confused about gender, confused about equality, refuse about all kinds of different things. And because of this confusion, there might be some, maybe even here tonight, that would question God as to his ability, for a lack of better phrase, to make the world go round. We see men and women committing the acts that were committed as in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. And it would seem to someone whose faith is momentarily weak that God is over in the glory land piddling his fingers, while the mortals here on earth just have to deal with whatever the outcome of this world, the confusion that it can put out. And knowing this, we could go as far as even to say that there are certain of us, maybe you're listening online or maybe you're in this building tonight, that are confused. But while you are in your confusion and you don't know exactly why God is doing the things that he is doing, you must remember that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And while we might be confused and wondering while God is allowing some things to happen in our lives, and while God has not responded to our situation as of yet, we must understand that God is not confused, that God is not thrown off by the acts that's going on in our world. Let me tell you something, friend. You might not have a plan. Mr. Biden might not have a plan. The Congress might not have a plan. But you can rest assured one thing, friend. God has a plan. Well, help me, Jesus. I feel like preaching on a Wednesday night to a world that seems as if like it's just one step from falling apart. It's just one morsel before we just come apart at the seams. Can I tell you that God has a plan, and it's forever settled in heaven. God's not sitting on the edge of his throne worried about what's going to happen next. God's not fretting. God's not sweating. God knows what he's doing. And while I might not have it all together, friend, you can rest assured of this. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By definition, stare decisis in the Latin literally means to stand by things decided. The doctrine that rules a principle of law on which a court rests a previous decision on authoritative in all future cases in which the facts are substantially the same. The doctrine of stare decisis or precedent law has its beginning in the 12th century of England, when King Henry II established a unified system of deciding legal matters in the system referred to as common law. The decisions of the king's judges in various regions were respected by other judges in deciding similar cases. In common English, if you wanted to sue someone for something that they had done and you did not get the answer in the place that you were at, you could go to the next judge, just one more parish over, and you could get that case brought up again. But so this was put in, this common law was put in action so that the lawyer could stand up and when something came their way, a matter that they had already handled, they could stand up instead of having to fight it all over again and declare stare decisis, simply meaning I stand by what's already been decided. I don't have to wonder about it. I'm standing by what's already been decided. David, the most talented man that ever picked up a pen, in my opinion, he wrapped it up tight and put a little pretty bow on it for us in our scripture text where he said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He understood. It wasn't in practice then, but it was the spirit, I guess you could say, of common law. David was saying, I'm standing by what's already been decided. I don't know what the enemy has to say. It really doesn't matter to me because I will stand by what's already been decided. Let the battle go however the battle needs to go. I stand by what's already been decided. Depression may come my way, but in the middle of that, I declare that I stand by what's already been decided. My family may seem as it's falling apart, but in the middle of the chaos in my family unit, I'll stand and declare that I'm going to stare decisis. Devil, I'm going to stand by what's already been decided. David said in Psalms 27 and 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David was saying, wicked men pursued me, and they tried to take me out, but I believed in the goodness of God, and that I would see the goodness of the Lord, and I know that his word is forever settled in heaven. David was simply saying, if you'll allow me to put it in my own simple terms, devil, throw me your best shot, because I've already got a stamp of victory on my life. Evil men might come against me, but I'm standing on what's been decided. Men might slander my name, but as the old song said, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. You can talk about me. You can slander my name. You can make fun. But honey, at the end of the day, I know in whom I have believed. And I know that all power in heaven and in earth is in him. I know that he's the beginning and the end. I know. I wish I had a believer right now that was fighting hell would stand up to your feet and let the devil know I'm going to stand on what's already been decided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. I think we can do a little bit better than that. God said, I would see the land of the living. And so it doesn't matter what Jebusite, oh, hear me now. It doesn't matter what Canaanite or what Jebusite is standing on my mountain. I'll stand up like Caleb and say, give me, therefore, this mountain. You know why he could say that? He said, do you remember what Moses told me when I was just a young man? I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Caleb stood up and said, y'all can fight about what y'all want to fight about. And I recognize that there's Anakims in the land. There's giants that are on top of my mountain. But Joshua, oh Joshua, don't you forget what the man of God said. Don't you forget that he said this land was my land. Caleb stood up and said, y'all can do what you want to do, boys.
but I'm going to stand on what's already been decided.
Can I take you? Can I bring it into a spiritual context in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37? It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what I'm going to do? Good to see you, Pastor Collins. There's my friend. You know what I'm going to do, Brother Collins? I'm going to stand on what's already been decided. I'm more than a conqueror. Woo! I don't know if you feel what I feel right now. Let me just tell you something. This is where we get mixed up sometimes. We think that because we're more than a conqueror, that that means that we shouldn't have to fight the battle. And understand that in order to be a conqueror, you have to have something to conquer. If you'll allow me to take you back to last Wednesday night, there's always going to be a devil in the way. But nay, in these things, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't matter what the devil can throw my way. I'm going to stand up and I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than able. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm telling you, I'm standing on something that was settled all the way back in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and nothing that was made without him. In him was a life, and it was a light for men. I'm going to tell you what that was. That Word was the same Word that they wrote about in our text when he said it's forever settled. You can forget about it, honey. The church is always going to have victory. We're not going down. We're going up. We won't be defeated because we stand on what's already been decided.
Woo. Hopefully, maybe I'll get to expound on this a little bit more. But Bishop, it's easy for me to understand that God is everlasting in the sense that he's never going to end. I can wrap my mind around that. But what's hard for my little cornbread McNary County mind to get around is the fact that God never had a beginning. He's just always been. And since he's the Word's always been. And since the Word was decided, victory was always inevitable. What are you telling me, preacher? I'm telling you that everything that you understand and can put your hands on had a beginning point, but God. That problem you're facing has a beginning point. You can think back to when your marriage started getting on the rocks. You can think back to the beginning of your financial struggle. But can I tell you that God was before all of that? Oh, I can't get no help on a Wednesday night. I said, God was before all of that. Before you ever knew what the problem was God before that. Before your family started, he was God before that. And because he was God, because he was the Word, because it was decided, victory was always inevitable. You got a reason to shout on a Wednesday night because you know even though the heathen rage, everything's going to be all right. I wish somebody just take them about 15 seconds and dance a little bit because you know everything is going to work in my good. I may not understand it all, but I know that all things work to the better of them that love the Lord. Need I take you to Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall. Somebody shout, shall. I shall arise.
Shall is a word of surety. Shall is a word of dominance. Shall means matter of factly. You know what I'm here to tell you tonight? If you're down, get back up. Because it's already been decided, baby. Can I preach to a saint right now that the devil has you convinced that because you're down, you're out? Honey, the devil's still a liar. You need to stand up, brush yourself off, shake yourself, and realize I got something working. Hey, 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 hey. I got something working on my side that's greater than any battle.
Can I take you? Can I preach this out of my spirit tonight? 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. Can you take me there? There we go. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed King David, or David king, over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. You see, if you're not careful, you'll miss the point of this scripture entirely. The only reason the devil's here is because he recognizes David is anointed. Oh, I'm finna drop a bomb on somebody right here. You keep thinking that the devil's picking on you. Honey, the devil is picking on you because he recognizes what's in you. He wouldn't be messing with you, honey, if you weren't anointed, if you didn't have power in. The devil would never give you a second look. But because you're anointed, by God, because you're anointed to pull down strongholds, because you're anointed to tear up hell's kingdom. So the Bible says that the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard it, and David didn't tuck his tail and run the other way. David went down to the hole. Next verse. The Philistines also came. So that lets me know, Pastor Collins, that there's a meeting place. This hole that the Bible tells us about. And then it tells us where the hole is. It said it spread themselves in the valley of Rapha. This place, the hold, is where we get the New Testament vernacular stronghold. I'm going to preach more about that here in a few moments. But David comes down, and the enemy comes down. And in the Old Testament, it was the way of doing battle. The hold was the place that nobody moved. Everybody was present. Everybody showed up to fight. But nobody wanted to give ground. Nobody wanted to retreat. It sounds a little bit like where we're at in Birmingham right now. But we're not backing up. And sure as my Lord help us, Jesus. And we can sure tell that the devil don't want to back up. Because he knows we're anointed. So they come down to the hole. The valley of Rapha. This word Rapha is translated as the word giants. And this is where God tells David, go up, for I will give you doubtless deliverance. Verse 19, let's look at that. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hand? That's what's been happening for the past couple of years. We've been sitting around in the hold. I'm going to tell you, this revival, I'm not just saying this because I'm here, but this revival isn't a revival that comes around every year. The spiritual place that we're in right now is not the place that you just live in. We're in a hold, and the devil don't want to back up. And you know what Bishop's been preaching and been casting vision for? It's because he's been inquiring of the Lord. Shall we go up? Lord, Are we really going to take Birmingham? You really think we can have that kind of revival that'll not just shake our city, but shake our region? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless, touch somebody and tell them doubtless. Shake your neighbor and tell them doubtless, without a doubt. My God, I feel like shouting on a Wednesday night. You want to know why? Because he said, doubtless, I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. You know what that was? David, you go ahead. I've already fought this battle. It's already been decided. Somebody needs to. I'm telling you, I feel that same spirit here right now saying, go up.
Yeah.
Hey.
Somebody shout, go up. Stop sitting around and complaining. Go up. Stop blaming it on your neighbor. Get up and go up, for I have doubtless delivered the Philistines into thine hand.
Woo! My God. David, you're in the valley of Rapha, the valley of the giant. Can I preach this? You're in the valley of Rapha, the valley of giants. But I want you to know something, David. You've been here before. Wasn't this valley, but it was another valley, and it just happened to be a valley with a giant in it. And David, if you'll think back to the last time you was in the valley of the giant, when nobody else would fight, when nobody else would stand up, but you stood up. David, think, I'm preaching to a David in here tonight. You got Goliath's head on the wall, and you're questioning in your mind, is God going to deliver again? I wish you just look back over your life to every time God made a way. I wish you'd look back over every time he brought you out, and then you'll know. I can declare stare decisis. He did it before, and he'll do it again. You may think we're crazy. Honey, you're right. It's because we know we got victory. No matter what the devil says, no matter what it is. I gotta move on. As the colonists came to America, they brought with them the common law system, including the principle of stare decisis. Over the centuries, the principle of stare decisis has morphed into what we now call, in the American law system, binding authority. I'm about to come apart of the seams right now. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. There's your
There's your, it doesn't matter what happens, the kingdom of hell is not going to prevail. But it goes farther than that. You see, to understand stare decisis, it's more than just shouting about what's already been decided. And I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so, Peter, I want you to get the revelation of stare decisis. It doesn't just mean that I'm always going to have a church, but it also means that while I'll have the church will have power, the church will have dominion, the church will have authority to whatever the devil brings their way. It's binding authority. You ought to go home tonight and get out a bottle of oil and just start anointing everything in your house and binding the devil. Lay hands on your husband that ain't saved and bind the devil. Lay hands on your children that are acting crazy and bind the devil. It's binding authority. Not only are we going to win, but we're going to win with power. We're going to win with anointing. God is going to bring us out.
Hey, I want the devil to know tonight that there's some people that are coming to the gates of hell, and they're going to take back their joy. You don't want to know why? Because it's time that you declare stare decisis in your life and go to Psalms chapter 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. See, that might not mean anything to you, but there's somebody in here that's been depressed and the devil's tried his best to get you to give up. I'm telling you, it's time to look yourself in the mirror, and even though you feel like you're losing your mind, declare what Isaiah said. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Devil, I want you to know I'm not going to lose my mind, because it's already been decided.
Five more minutes. Somebody, you hear me? It is not the will of God for you to live in poverty. I don't care what lie you bought into, that because you were raised in poverty, you had to die in poverty. So, well, preacher, you're just getting off on that blessed, blessed, and blessed, and blessed. Yeah, you want to know why? Because he said, blessed shall be the fruit of thy ground. He said, you'll be the lender and not the borrower. You ain't hearing me. You'll be above and not beneath. Blessed, you're going to be blessed in the city and blessed. I'm telling somebody right now that's been fighting hell in your finance, you need to stand up. And the devil, I feel this in the Holy Ghost, the devil lied to you and said you don't need to pay tithes anymore and giving the offering. You need to step up to the plate and say, devil, you're a liar. I'm going to be blessed like I've never been blessed before, because it's already been decided. It's already been decided.
Can I, y'all get up here. I'll preach all night like this. Y'all better hurry. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I'm telling you, it's the will of God. Can you put me 1 Peter? I don't think I gave you the scripture, but give me 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. We're supposed to have miracles in this house right now. I'm telling you, the miraculous healing power of God is being released right now because of this. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have, notice the past tense, have been healed. I know the doctor said it was terminal and that there was no way you were going to get rid of the cancer. I know they said diabetes is in your family and so you'll probably die with it. I know they said that the tumor wasn't operable, but can I tell you something that's already been decided by his wounds? When he was taking the stripes on his back, he was thinking about the cancer. He was thinking about the he was thinking about your sickness. So honey, you got a reason to shout. I'm telling you, your blood can be cleansed. Even though the doctor said no, you want to know why? It's already been decided. If you need a miracle, they're getting ready to sing. If you need a miracle, I wish without abandon you'd step out in the aisle and just start shouting, cause you know my healing, my deliverance, my touch has already been decided. Somebody shout! What are you shouting about? It's already been decided. I know that that dying's big. I know that problem's too hard. But my victory has already been decided. Shout Jesus. God, if you don't know what to shout, just shout Jesus. That's the name we're singing about. If you don't know what to do, just throw your hands up and shout Jesus. Thou son of David, have mercy. And all of a sudden, the stereotypes come in. And those things which have already been decided come to pass.
We break through.
When you want the Holy Ghost, I wish you'd come up here and get as close to this pulpit as you can and lift your hands and begin to pray. And the thing that's already been decided, it's my will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's already been decided. If you repent and get baptized in Jesus' name, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Come on, change. Sounds is new. Change our loose.
Angeles is open right now.
I wish you would grab your neighbor by the hand, whoever it is, wherever you feel comfortable. I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. And I'm going to pray for you like I want you to pray for me. And I'm going to prophesy stare decisis over your life. And you're going to prophesy stare decisis over mine. And that which is not is going to be as though it was. The miracle that you haven't had. God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. It's going to be like it's happening right. It's not going to be like it's going to happen right now in our prayer. I want you to start praying for your neighbor right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is that my brother's been praying about, that my sister's been praying about, God, I pray right now that you would release stare decisis, that you would release binding authority, that the thing that's already been decided would be released right now, right now, right now. Release it, release it, release it. Miracles, signs, and wonders in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's it. Come on, we're not just talking in tongues, but binding authority's coming down. Yeah, that's it. Go, go. And when you feel it, you respond however you feel. Like it already happened. Like it already happened. Like it already, I'm gonna shout, cause I know it's already happening. I'm gonna dance in Atlanta, cause I know it's already happening. Come on, mama, you ought to shout like your baby just prayed back to. Come on, brother, you ought to shout like that financial miracle just happened. But whatever you do, shout about it,
cause you know it's
already been decided.
We break through, we break through. Come on, we break through,
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 we break through.
Come on,
we break through,
we break through.